Hi friends, it's nice to be with you again. I'm going to share with you a sermon called The Door to God's Help. This message will help you understand why sometimes we look for God's help, but we don't seem to find it. This story unfolds a real key principle of bringing God's help into our desperate situations. So I trust it'll be a help to you. My text is 2 Kings chapter 5, the story of Naaman the leper. I'm going to begin by reading verse 1. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master, and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Well, life gives people things they cannot handle. Maybe some of you are in the midst of something that you're saying, boy, I just cannot handle that. And that's what happened to Naaman. He discovered that he had leprosy. Now, leprosy in those days would end up being a fatal disease. It was a slow disease that just ate away your skin, ate away your nerve endings. You can't tell when you're stubbing your toe or you're cutting off your finger. It's just a horrible, horrible wasting disease. And Naaman knew he was in trouble. And sometimes life happens. We can be in trouble in a relationship, in a marriage, in a relationship with our children, in a job situation, in a financial situation. Life gives us things that we cannot handle. And Naaman was in one of those times. Well, our tendency is to use our human currencies to try to solve the problem or to bring the help of God into that situation. And actually in this story, I see Naaman trying five different currencies to get the help of God. The first four didn't work. It was the last one that actually brought the help of God. But I want to mention those. First of all, they're simply the currency of personal prowess. Naaman was a man of prowess. He was the king's MVP. I don't know about you guys, but I'm an Oilers fan, and I'm so disappointed they're out of the playoffs. But all through the year, Connor McDavid was the Oilers' MVP. There was no question about it. Well, Naaman was the king's MVP. He was his go-to guy. He was winning victory after victory. He was bringing prosperity to the country. He was a man of personal prowess, so I'm sure whenever there was a social event, the Naaman would walk in and everybody go, "Whoa, here's Naaman." You know, he just had everybody's ear. He was a man of personal prowess, but his personal prowess was no match for the leprosy. It didn't bring the help of God. There's a second currency that he used, and I think it was that of financial power. You know, it says, the story unfolds, and there's a girl who was working as a servant in their house and says, there's a prophet in the country of Israel who can help you with this. And so he goes to his king and says, can I go? And the king replied, I by all means go. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. Well, Naaman starts accumulating resources, currencies of this world, that can help him get the help of God. And the first one that we see them him accumulating is that of money. I one day went through this and modernized the amount of currency that he'd brought along. He basically was carrying with him around $4 million. He was trying to buy the help of God with money. You know, when I was growing up, I used to watch a show called Stampede Wrestling, and they had a man named Mr. Hito who would kind of be in control of all the bad guys on the show, and then he would go over and he'd lure some of the good guys over to the bad side. And when he was interviewed about this, he would always say, money talks, Mr. Whalen. Ed Whalen was the interviewer. Money talks, Mr. Whalen. Well, Naaman was believing that money would talk with God. If I bring enough money, it'll open up favor for me, and then the help of God will follow. You know, I find that God's people still do that today. I notice that in churches sometimes, when the Spirit of God is not active, it's been grieved, people will try to throw money at the problem to fix what is wrong. Sometimes we just try new programs and new projects to try to bring life, and sometimes those are of God, but I'm just saying sometimes we're counting on human currency to try to bring the life and healing of God to our situation. And I've found over the years, God's people would rather spend money than pray and cast themselves in humility before God. Well, that's the currency that doesn't work in God's kingdom. Then there's the currency of influential friends. He comes with this letter of recommendation is to open the doors for him so that the help of God can come in. And, well, that may have got him into the see the king, I don't know, but it didn't bring God's help. Influential friends didn't bring God's help. That currency didn't work. Then there was the currency of personal dignity. What we have is the struggle. I'm just going to read verses 8 to 12 in this story. So this context is Naaman goes to the king of Israel, and the king tears his robe, saying, "Who am I to help you? I can't help you. These letters of influence don't do any good here." So Elisha hears about this, and he invites Naaman to come see him. And it says, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, as it will, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would say to me, 'Come out to me.' He would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over this spot and cure me of leprosy. Are not the Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned away and went off in a rage. You know, Naaman was coming for help. He wanted God's help. But he expected that help to come because of who he was. He was this conqueror. He was this mighty man. He could drive up with $4 million and a show of strength with his soldiers and chariots. He was quite somebody. And he expected God to help him on that basis. Didn't work. Elisha sends out a servant. Elisha doesn't even come out to greet him. It was really an act of rudeness. But I think Elisha knew what Naaman's problem was. Naaman was trying to buy his healing with his dignity. You know, we often try to do that. I find in working with people come to me with a problem, but they don't want to hear what God has to say. They actually want some psychological cover-up, some excuse, some quick fix, maybe. And a lot of it, at the root of it, is pride. We don't want to admit. We don't want to do anything that may impinge on our dignity. And so pride is a terrible thing. Puritan writer William Law said, "Pride must die in you, or nothing in heaven can live in you. Look not at pride as only an unbecoming temper, nor at humility as only a decent virtue. One is all hell, and one is all heaven." Donald Barnhouse said, "Christ sends away none empty, but those who are full of themselves." Powerful. Naaman comes. Elisha sends a servant, says, "Go bathe in the Jordan 7 times. Naaman is infuriated. His dignity has been assaulted. And it says he went off in a rage. It was just wrath, anger, fury. This was the ultimate temper tantrum. "How dare you treat me like this? Don't you know who I am? I'm deserving of God's help." Well, that's not a currency that works in God's kingdom. So Naaman has tried his influence, he's tried his resume, he's tried his money, and now it's just his dignity, all wanting to get God's help, but none of them have worked so far. And he's going to storm away. He's going to get in his chariot and go home unhealed because he has found that the currencies he likes to use aren't working. Well, God is looking for a different currency. God is looking for humble faith. None of Naaman's currencies worked, but God was looking for something else, and it was simply the currency of obedience and surrender. Surrender opens the door to God, for God to do his work. Look at verse 11 and following. It says there, but Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and cure me of this leprosy. Verse 13, Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would not you have done it? How much more then, when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself into the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored, and he became clean like a young boy. Well, what's the currency of God's kingdom? What's the door to God's help? It's humble surrender. With that currency, we open the door to God's help. Part of our problem in life is that we come up with against these impossible situations. We try to use every currency but the one that God requires. Humble obedience. Jesus refers to this in the New Testament. You see him speaking to people and saying, there was a lot of lepers in Israel at the time of Naaman, but, they didn't come with faith, humble obedience. The Israelites were really, really mad at Jesus for saying that. But there is a door that is opened to God's help when we surrender and obey. And when we exercise this humility, we may receive more than we asked. We see that in verse 15. Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, Now I know there is no God in all the world except Israel, so please accept a gift from your servant. God did more than heal his body. He healed his soul as well. Naaman comes to faith. Through humble obedience, God not only healed him physically, but spiritually. The principle I want to leave you with, you friends, today is this. The door to God's help swings on the hinges of our humility. I learned this in a powerful way one day. I'd been a pastor for a number of years, and I went into extreme burnout. And it was so severe that it was like lightning strikes. When a thought of fear would come through my mind, lightning strikes would go down through my whole body. Sometimes it was just like really putting my finger in a socket. And so the church gave me a sabbatical, and it was about 4 months into the sabbatical and feeling a little bit better, but still that nerve thing was going on. And I had this thought hit me one Sunday morning, and it was just like that jolt went through me, and I cried out to God, and I said, God, if you don't heal me, I'm finished. Well, I went to church that day. We were attending a different church, and I was sitting there and looking around and half bored with the service, frankly. And then I heard the pastor say, we're going to have elder couples at the front. If you need prayer, come forward. And right away, the Holy Spirit alerted me. I needed to go. And I started with an internal battle. God, I'm a well-known pastor. I shouldn't have to be going up for prayer. I should be up there praying. And I had this battle. I was struggling between my dignity and my disease. But I sensed from the Spirit that unless I went now, I would miss out on what God wanted to do. And I went. And the couple prayed for me. Same words that other people had prayed for me. Others prayed that nothing happened. But in that moment, it was the God moment. And God did something deep in my soul. Gave me a peace that I had not had for a long, long time. Just a sense of protection there. I wasn't afraid anymore. God healed me. That healing came as I use the door of humility. Humble obedience brought my healing. Some of you are facing impossibilities. You are a person who's used to conquering. You're a person who's used to overcoming. You have a reputation of being on top of things, being the leader, being somebody, even someone through whom God works. Yet you may be facing an impossibility today. And you're finding that all your track record, all your resume, all your financial resources, all your connections, nothing is bringing the help of God. Understand, the door to God's help swings on the hinges of your humility. This principle works for churches too. I find that a lot of churches like to use the other currency instead of God's currency to straighten things out. Instead of times, seasons of fasting and prayer and seeking God's face, we try to have more meetings, more ideas, more this, more that, more money. Trying to find God's help with the wrong currency. The door to God's help swings on the hinges of our humility. There's a poem that says, I used to think God's gifts were on shelves, one above the other. The taller we grow, the easier we could reach them. Now I find God's gifts are on shelves, one beneath the other. And the lower we stoop, the more we get. The door to God's help swings on the hinges of your humility. Humility is the currency of God's kingdom. Some of you are facing difficult times. You don't know what to do, or maybe you've tried a variety of things. I want to say to you, listen to the Spirit of God. He knows the steps to take. Listen until you know the steps, then take them. And as you step out in obedience, you will find the door to his help swing open. Well, God bless you folks. I trust you have a great day. But remember this simple phrase, the door to God's help swings on the hinges of our humility. That's a quote I heard years ago from Charles Swindoll. It fits perfectly with this text, and I trust that you will take advantage of the currency of God's kingdom as you face your impossibility. Bye for now.